T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's good? Live right now, as well as 97.7 FM in Greenville, 97.1 FM in Spartanburg, 1330 AM in Anderson and in Clemson. If you are on Facebook, right now, or can get to it, you can see a live broadcast of the final 2 hours of the show today. Rolling on. Big thanks to Patrick Brown for helping me get this set up. You realize, Patrick, the audience though might be cursing you for doing that. They preferred the show when they didn't have to look at me. Right?
Look, they cursed me already whenever we started the show, so it's fine.
Yeah, it is great to be here with you guys. Live broadcast ongoing of the show right now, right on our Facebook page. Just go to facebook.com, ESPN Upstate page, and we are rolling on right now. Marvin Jordan says huge echo on Facebook Live right now. I don't know what I can do about that, Marvin. I've got some windows open here, but I'm in a confined space, right? We're broadcasting live from my apartment. If you're on the Facebook page, you might be able to see my framed Florida Gator, picture that's above the TV right here in the living room. You got the kitchen in the background. Gosh, we got to figure this out, Patrick, because Joshua Williams is saying there's scratching noises. So I don't know. I'm not sure what this is sounding like, but we'll try to make it sound the best way that we can. I'm going to try to bring you guys behind the scenes as best as possible here as we roll on in what has become a very, very unique environment. Marvin Jordan, Joshua Williams, great to have you. Great to have you with us. Okay. Okay, Rob Brown telling me to reset the video. So I will end the live video right now, and we will restart it here momentarily. Okay? I will do that momentarily, try to get that set the best that we can. As for us, as for the show, let's get to what we do every single day at this time. We call it the Top 5 at 5. What is the Top 5 at 5, you ask? The top 5 sports topics of the day, the top 5 topics that we are discussing on the air. All right? You are free to participate in all of the above, and it is great to have you with us. Let's try it again, 3-2-1 with the Facebook Live, and the Top 5 at 5 starts right now. Hit it. All right, at number 5, ESPN has a college basketball bracket trying to crown the best college basketball player of all time. And in the South and Midwest regions, here are the matchups that we have. Some of these are fascinating. And what's been really cool about this bracket is that, yeah, there's a recency bias, but also we're seeing some major upsets, more upsets than we'd ever see in an actual tournament. Zion Williamson has already upset a number one seed. Zion Williamson gets Carmelo Anthony in the Sweet 16. Patrick, you think Zion can get by Melo?
I think so. Zion was, he was must watch whenever we were talking about all we could in college, whenever he was playing with Duke. For me, he was that once-in-a-lifetime generation athlete that you just had to watch. Carmelo, for as much of stats as he put and how great of a show that he put, I think a lot of people remember the good times that they had with Zion right now because it's so recent.
Yeah, the recency bias works in Zion Williamson's favor. Magic Johnson versus Kevin Durant as well. Wilt Chamberlain versus Stephen Curry. Steph Curry was my favorite player to watch in the modern era. Like just so much fun. He was doing things that a scrawny kid of his stature wasn't supposed to be able to do and was single-handedly leading Davidson to really special places. You also have David Robinson against Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan better not win this bracket because he wasn't the man, he wasn't that guy at the collegiate level. Was a very good player, but wasn't good enough to be drafted number one out of college in the NBA draft, right? He took the next level as a player at the professional level. That's exactly what he did. All right, next up. All right, so check this out. Cam Newton, there's a video of Cam Newton on the Insta. That's what the kids say now, right? On the Insta. Shirtless video of Cam Newton, and he looks motivated, and he looks pissed, and he seems to be beside himself, not only at what the Carolina Panthers did to him, but also the way that the NFL has shunned him, right? Nobody willing to give up a third, fourth, fifth round pick to the Carolina Panthers to get so the Panthers can get something of value of him. Carolina has released him now, and he's seen in the video looking yoked, by the way, absolutely shredded. I guess I was just kind of taken aback by that, man. I realize dude is a Greek god. I understand that, right? I get the fact that there's not Cam Newtons walking around, but I still was taken aback at just at the overall condition that he's in, man. Just really kind of, you realize how serious he is. You realize the chip that's on his shoulder. And if he's healthy enough to play, you realize how motivated a Cam Newton some lucky team is going to get. The problem is, you know, you're starting to run out of potential homes for Cam. Might he be a fit in New England? I don't think so, because I think New England, winning isn't a priority for the New England Patriots this year. You know, the Chicago Bears already committed to Nick Foles. What potential playoff situations would Cam Newton fit in well in? I think those situations, unfortunately, are really drying up. Next up. All right, today I thought what we would do is attempt to define success for our area teams in the upcoming seasons, right? A B grade in some households is met with a party. A B grade in other households is met with a spanking. Expectations has a lot to do with it. So how would you define success for our area teams? Number one for me, South Carolina, you got to find your quarterback of the future and you got to make a bowl game. You do that, you've had a successful year. How about Carolina Panthers? I don't think you can measure this season. I don't think you can measure success in a one-loss total this year for the Carolina Panthers. I think this season for Carolina is about finding the stars of tomorrow. Can you develop a Brian Burns? Can you further develop a DJ Moore, a Curtis Samuel, Robbie Anderson, now in the fold at 27 years of age? Will the young quarterbacks, PJ Walker and Will Greer, have a further chance to develop under Teddy Bridgewater? Will Teddy Bridgewater be a stopgap, or has Carolina, in fact, found their guy moving forward? And then Clemson, to me, is a brutal one, but you got to win the national championship. I mean, that's very simple, and it's tough, and it's ultimately why Steve Spurrier left the Florida Gators, because it was championship or bust. I have some others here for you as well. Furman, a successful season for Furman next year. I pick college basketball. They've got to get over the hump. They've got to win the conference tournament. They've got to make the NCAA tournament. They've been right there. They've been right on the cusp. It's time for them to take the next step. For the Atlanta Falcons, you got to make the playoffs to save Dan Quinn's job. They've added Todd Gurley. A 1,000-yard rushing season from Todd Gurley certainly would help. The Atlanta Braves, I think you've got to make it to the World Series, right? I mean, you had that choke job in Game 5, allowing 10 runs in the first inning to the St. Louis Cardinals. You got to find a way to take the next step. You got to find a way to make it to the World Series if you're the Atlanta Braves. That is the logical next step there. So who your favorite team is in the area Perhaps it's the Wofford Terriers, Carolina Panthers, Clemson Tigers, Furman Paladins, FU all the time, South Carolina Gamecocks, Atlanta Falcons, Atlanta Braves. How would you define success for our area teams? Because it's something that's completely subjective and it's something that's completely different for all of us. Next up. At number two today, we talked about how does the story end for some interesting characters in the sports world. O.J. Simpson, how does that story end? I think it ends on his deathbed, O.J. Simpson making a confession. I think he will view that as his way to make right with the world. He's 72 years old. I think that happens sometime in the next 10 years. He seems to be trying to make amends. He really cares about what other people think. And I see ultimately him not being able to keep his trap shut or wanting to come clean right at the end. I think it ends ultimately with a confession. Tiger Woods, how does the story end? This is interesting to me because Patrick Brown and I both think the Tiger Woods story ends with 17 majors, one short of Jack Nicklaus, which, you know, 10 years ago, it would have been unfathomable to consider Tiger Woods not breaking the record. 2 years ago, it would have been unfathomable to consider Tiger Woods breaking the record. But we've seen an improvement in play. Against him. Some of you hate me for that, but I think he's sport's greatest villain, and I don't root for him on the golf course. I think he's kind of a bad dude, a bad guy. But if anybody has a chance to break the record, I think it's Tiger Woods. And I think in sports you're supposed to root for and against certain guys. But Patrick and I both have him falling one short. And then how would it have ended? Jay Williams minus the horrible motorcycle accident, I think he would have been the guy to lead the Chicago Bulls back from the abyss post-Michael Jordan. What say you on how does it end for O.J. Simpson? How does it end for Tiger Woods? Your thoughts welcome here on the show. And finally, folks, the New England Patriots have a plan, and that much is easily seen. They've compiled as many as 13 draft picks this year that could be parlayed. Draft picks next year. They're all about acquiring draft capital. Now, if you've watched New England over the year, what you've gleaned is that Bill Belichick doesn't value draft picks as much as the rest of the guys, right? He compiles them because he knows that other teams want them. He knows that other teams value them. But I think the plan for New England is to put themselves in position to draft a Trevor Lawrence, to draft a Justin Fields a year from now. Here's Colin Cowherd of the Herd on Colin the Herd commenting on all the above.
Belichick's got a plan. The plan is moving picks he has this year to next year, going into next year's draft with his normal picks, his multiple compensatories, a handful pushed to next year, having 12 to 13 or 14 picks, willing to give up 9. If they go 6-10, lose a lot of close games, maintain the integrity of their culture in a draft with the two best college prospects since Andrew Luck.
That's lofty praise, man. Two best college prospects since Andrew Luck. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure if Trevor Lawrence has earned that yet. I understand the hype around him. But gosh, folks, there was a gap between Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence in the title game as wide as the Grand Canyon. Colin Cowherd closes with some final thoughts on this very thing.
The quarterback. Arizona could be bad. They're not going to draft another quarterback. Cincinnati. Giants could be bad. They're not going to draft another quarterback. You don't think the Giants or the Bengals or Arizona wouldn't take 8 picks from New England if the Patriots finish 6-10 and call and say, we want a quarterback. Kyler Murray needs help. Daniel Jones needs help. Joe Burrow's going to need help. Many of the bad teams next year, except Jacksonville, they'll probably draft a quarterback. Many of the bad teams have a quarterback. The saturation point in the NFL at quarterbacks, there's just not many teams that need them, and 3 to 4 of them are going to get one this year.
So where does Trevor Lawrence ultimately end up? And if you're a Clemson Tiger fan and you're thinking about the future of Trevor, look, he's the betting favorite to be the number one overall pick next year. But I think he's got a lot of work to do in terms of fine-tuning his game. There's no doubt the raw tools are there, right? But in terms of becoming that complete player, it's all about putting it all together, man. He can't continue to have games like he did in the national championship game where he's skipping passes, sailing passes over receivers' heads when it matters most. So what is to you the best fit for Trevor Lawrence if you're a Clemson Tigers fan at the NFL level? Let's be honest. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen next season, right? We don't know. We don't know if we're going to get the whole season. We don't know if we're going to get a truncated season. We don't know if we're going to get any season, right? So you're allowed to declare for the NFL draft 3 years removed from high school. Whether there's a season or not, Trevor Lawrence will be eligible to declare for the draft. Clemson fans have got to be hoping and praying that we have a season this year. I'm hoping and praying we have a season this year. But when you look at the different quarterback situations throughout the league, I think there's only five possibilities, if I'm honest with you. New England, Carolina, Detroit, Jacksonville, and Washington. You know, you go through the teams, and I was looking at over-unders and teams and who's supposed to be bad next year, right? Cincinnati's going to get their guy. Miami's going to get their guy this year. The Giants already have their guy, or so they think in Daniel Jones. The New York Jets, Sam Darnold, are they ready to move off him yet? I don't think so, right? Washington, Dwayne Haskins, perhaps, right? Maybe Dwayne Haskins gets another year. I think if Washington's smart, they draft Tua Tagovailoa this year. You know, like, you don't need to give your mistake time. Yeah, make that position as strong as you possibly can, folks. So I see New England, Carolina, Detroit, Jacksonville, Washington as possibilities for Trevor Lawrence. I think the Chargers, the Bengals, the Dolphins, the Bears right now are screwed. I mean, they're locked up with Nick Foles and Mitchell Trubisky. Miami Dolphins, they're gonna select their guy this year, and I think, you know, it's interesting to see what might be the best fit. If you're a Clemson fan, do you have a best fit for Trevor Lawrence next season? Those are today's top 5 at 5. Now it's your chance to chime in, which you can do at 1-844-477-3776. That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. The text line is there for you at 71307. Simply start your text with the word ESPN and away you go. Twitter is there for you as well at ESPN Upstate, at Mark Ryan on air, at MacBrown22. And email, you can get to email at Mark Ryan, M-A-R-C Ryan, at ESPNUpstate.com. All of the different ways you can get a hold of us here on the show today. So much more to get to. A loaded final 100 minutes of the show today rolling your way until 7 p.m. Thanks for making us part of your afternoon. We're on Facebook Live right now as well. We've got people commenting. Appreciate your participation. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan and Patrick Brown today right here on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Offsides with Mark and Patrick right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to be here with you, Friday Eve edition of the show. How are things going for you, Patrick? What's going on, man? Back in network controls. How are you?
One day at a time.
What's that?
Said living the dream one day at a time.
One day at a time, ladies and gentlemen. A very different experience for all of us right now. But I'll tell you, like, still, my favorite 4 hours of the day are these 4 hours right now. And I do feel, you know, I do feel a little cooped up. And it does feel like, man, it feels like a lot of our freedoms have been stripped away from us. I can't tell you how badly I just want to go to a local establishment, cut loose, eat whatever I want, do whatever we want, watch the tournament right now. It's been a trying time. It's been a challenging time for all of us. You predicted the other day, Patrick, that we would have live sports on April 29th. The juxtaposition between that and Rob Brown saying not until October 15th. Has time offered you a different window into a more negative possibility there, Patrick? Are you still rolling with April 29th?
Look, the only thing I'm seeing right now is IndyCar, and they're saying at the end of May is when they're starting.
Yeah.
And to me, that's not – I'm not going to sit here and cry and go, oh, I was a month off. I'm not going to do that because at this point, I'm like, whenever we get the set date that sports are coming back, I feel like it's the day that we're all going to celebrate.
Yeah, and I also think what's amazing is I think we're all kind of and by the way, on the Facebook Live photo, you can see I've got like this was a shirt from the high school that I taught at, right? It was the Sam Rayburn Texans, right? So I'm rocking the high school teacher gear today. But I think we're just understanding truly what sports means to society, right? Like sports is clearly that thing that we all look forward to at the end of the workday. Sports, in many respects, is that carrot that's dangling out in front of you, right? And yeah, I mean, sure, you can achieve promotions at work, you can have vacations coming up, you can be advancing things in a relationship with the love of your life, and all of those are great life pleasures, giving birth and welcoming your first child into the world. I mean, these are all amazing things, but also you glean what sports did for us every single day, right? I mean, you'd have your low-key intriguing sports nights, right, when maybe a rookie that nobody was talking about was playing on like ESPNU and you were excited to watch him play. You know, it's or you had the big days that everybody was talking about. Like right now today, if we had sports going on right now, we would be enjoying the Sweet 16. Like the Sweet 16 would be on right now as we speak. We'd be going Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday to the Final Four. And this thing has robbed us all of the second best sports month of the year. Go ahead and rank, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, go down the list 1 through 12 and rank them. October's clearly the best. March, in my opinion, is clearly the second best, depending on the value you place upon March Madness. But you also have opening day. You have the NBA in full swing. In the lessons learned of life of not appreciating what you have until it's gone, you know, this to me vaults right to the top of the list, right? I think we've all had relationships end, and maybe in those relationships we didn't appreciate what we had until it was too late. You learned a hard lesson from that. But, man, have we taken sports for granted. You know, sports were always going to be there. I'm still kind of amazed and stunned that we find ourselves in this predicament today. Let's check on the text line where you guys know my promise to you is I will always read your texts regardless of what they say. Band Boy, this is from Malkop. Band Boy, how can Trevor Lawrence be the overall number one choice next year when you preface that with all the things that are wrong with him? We both know he can't get this fixed. He looked horrible in the last two games of the season. Listen, Malkop, just because I'm saying that he will be the number one pick doesn't mean that would be my selection. I wouldn't take him number one overall, but I think he will get taken number one overall. And I'm saying I wouldn't take him number one overall today because I think his decision-making isn't there yet. His accuracy isn't there yet. His footwork could stand some improving. But he does have the reputation of being kind of the Terminator, the RoboCop, among available college quarterbacks. There's no doubt about that. Malkop continues, my bet is he's not even drafted in the second round. What would you like to put on that, Malkop? Your bet he's not even drafted in the second round. What would you like to put on that? Huh? I mean, you tell me. Another texter says the NHRA has released the rest of their schedule this year, starting June 5th to the 7th with Gator Nationals, which was the first event they canceled. Believe it or not, I've actually attended Gator Nationals before. It was amazing. So, look, you know, we've got a texter saying, Mark, we've got sporting events placing themselves back on the calendar June 5th through the 7th. We have the NBA and Adam Silver trying to figure out anything they can do. To get the season going at the NBA level. We have Major League Baseball trolling its own audience with opening day at home, hashtag opening day at home. What's the point of that? Patrick, if you're MLB, why would you tweet hashtag opening day at home? I mean, isn't that just twisting the knife in your audience from afar? I don't understand the goal there at all. Hashtag opening day at home. It seems to be just a reminder. They want everybody to know, hey, in the room, this is our day. Don't forget, this is our day. But it's just, I don't know, man. You know, opening day at home isn't the same, right? Opening day was the day where everyone went to the ballparks. When I broadcasted from Tampa, you know, having to play in St. Pete, and there's something weird about a body of water, like a body of water is the most divisive thing to people. Look at bodies of water. Throughout our world history, throughout modern geography, people on either side of a body of water don't like each other. So in Tampa, Tampanians don't go across the bridge to St. Pete. They won't go watch the team in St. Pete, right? They don't want to do it. They say it's our team. It's called the Tampa Bay Rays. St. Pete residents say it belongs to St. Pete. So what you see in Tampa is that they go to the first game of the year. They sell out the first game of the year because it's basically a national holiday there. And then game two, there's nobody there. Game three, there's nobody there. Up until game 81 at home, there's nobody there. Patrick Brown, you know, for Major League Baseball to troll its audience, do you at all get the hashtag opening day at home? Why would they do that?
I don't think they're trolling at all.
No?
No. Well, when you're in the mindset of no matter what, this isn't opening day, MLB is trying their best. And I do mean their best to at least give the baseball fans something. The diehard baseball fans who miss this day in the sense of we miss watching baseball because it's not on. And we're kind of sitting here and going, all right, well, what do we do? Well, the next best thing is actually just watch the simulation of the games, like how it would be. And honestly, I like that. Because you actually can communicate with other fans as it's going on. Going, oh, he wouldn't throw in that pitch. Oh, maybe this isn't as accurate, but at least it's the best we've got. Rather than doing nothing out of it and getting no publicity and nothing out of it.
I mean, I guess you could say, what are they supposed to do, right? What are they supposed to say?
They're danged if they do and danged if they don't.
Yeah, just I don't know, man. Like MLB at home, opening day at home feels like a swing and a miss to me. Let's get to Tyler, who is up next on the show. Hey, Tyler, thanks for the call, bud. 1-844-477-3776. 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. Tyler, you're offsides, bud.
I'm gonna call you every day if I have to, Mark.
Listen, buddy, it's great to hear from you, man. I appreciate your loyalty to the show, man. Thank you very much. What's up?
We're gonna give some of these squares a call in. I'm telling you. Here we go. But MLB, man, I'm telling you, it's they're that old creepy uncle, man. They just never get it right. It's just weird. It's like, what were they going for there? But I called about Trevor Lawrence. I think what that guy said. Trevor Lawrence, man, he is amazing. When you watch him, obviously I'm a Clemson fan and a Panther fan, so I'm speaking as a homer right now, don't get me wrong, but Trevor Lawrence is, everything he does is dissected. Everything he does is national level. It's like, if you can't tell yet, I love giving comparisons, but it's like for me, I'm a manager, and if the owner of the company isn't there every day, I get away with some stuff, and at the end of the day, it gets fixed, but when you're getting every single thing dissected when the owner's there every day, you get caught doing some dumb crap, and that's what happened with Trevor, man. He just got put on a national level. Every single thing he does is under a microscope. So,
All right, Tyler. So here's the problem. Here's the problem, Clemson fan, all right? You watched the national championship game. You saw what a number one overall pick looks like. You've got to be honest with yourself. You got to be honest with yourself and say, Trevor didn't look anywhere close to that. How can anyone say that he should be the number one overall pick when right in front of your face in the same game, you're seeing what a number one pick looks like? If you switch the quarterbacks in that game,
wait a minute, one second, Tyler.
If you switch the quarterbacks in that game, Clemson wins the national championship.
Yep. But it's like I said the other day with talking about NFL quarterbacks. You got to look at these guys and think, look at just the mold and the body of the player that you're getting. The guy is huge, man. You don't get those 6'5", 6'6", cannon arms. Guy has touch. It's soft. He can lay it in there. And then what I said the other day about Cam Newton, that's the problem. He doesn't have that touch, man. That's why people aren't chomping at the bit to get this guy.
Yeah, but guess who didn't have the touch in the championship game? Guess who didn't have the touch?
Trevor Lawrence did not have the touch at all.
Did not have the touch.
Horrible game. I know. Right. Talk it up. He's just he's a young guy. He'll get there. But he's definitely number one pick, man. He all day long. You know in your heart what
Tyler, I think he's going to be the number one pick. I think he's going to be the number one pick. But as of today, I wouldn't take him number one. I'd take Justin Fields before I take Trevor. Is that blasphemy to you?
That's blasphemy. But I still love you. Don't have a good night.
Hey, appreciate it, Tyler. Thanks so much for the call. You know, like, we're all developing new routines and new traditions, and Tyler's been calling the show daily, and I truly appreciate it, Tyler. Thanks for doing that. Thanks for chiming in. We talk about in this business the dead zone of sports, right? And so the dead zone of sports is almost always end of June, first week in July. Right. By the end of July, you have NFL training camps. By the end of July, by the beginning of August, you have preseason football and the football hype machines in full swing. But last week of June, first week of July, you know, sports gives us 50 out of 52 weeks of the year of compelling content. Right. And now all of us are accepting the challenge willingly of trying to devise the most compelling content we can in the absence of any sports ongoing. It is the most unique challenge of my broadcasting career, man, and there's no doubt about that. All right, coming up next, there is a consensus as to what the best division is in the NFL, and the consensus, folks, is dead wrong. I'll give you the five W's on that next. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan, live on location from Mikasa. I can't believe it. It's Offsides with Mark and Patrick right here on ESPN Upstate. Hope you guys are having a wonderful Friday Eve to the best of your ability. I kind of feel like a jackass saying that right now, given what's going on. But I truly hope that, everybody's finding something enjoyable to do each and every day out there. I think, by and large, from what I've seen, South Carolinians have done that very well. I've seen people out exercising. I'm looking at somebody right now cleaning their car. There's a lot of exercisers around, and what's kind of going on in this development with this setup with us doing the show. And by the way, we're live right now on Facebook Live as well from the ESPN Upstate account. I've got my window open, right? So the window is directly behind my computer here, and it's overlooking my place. So the window's open. So people exercise kind of around the loop. There's a really nice trail in my place that people exercise around, right? And so as they're coming around, they're all stopping, and they're like, where is this noise coming from? It sounds like, I bet they think like somebody's got their TV up real loud or something like that, right? So people are coming around, and they're stopping to see kind of what all the commotion is up here, because I'm not exactly dainty or soft-spoken here on the radio, right? And I would have it no other way. I do want to get to this. So the conventional wisdom has been that the NFC South is the best division in all of football, and that notion, folks, is dead wrong. I think the NFC South is pretty solid. I think it's pretty good. The first thing you do when you're trying to size up different divisions is you look at the most recent record for the division, right? So here you go. AFC East last year, 34-30. AFC North last year, 30-34. AFC South, 32-32, 500. AFC West, 31-33. NFC East, you ready for this? Hide the women and children. This is the worst I've ever seen. 24-40 last year for the NFC East. The NFC South, 34-29-1 last year. The NFC North last year, 34-29-1. And you ready for this? The NFC West, 38-25-1. Folks, the NFC West is the best division in football, and it's really not even close. And I say that despite the fact that the Los Angeles Rams are taking a huge step back. The Los Angeles Rams, they had the Brooklyn Nets approach in the NBA. Like, they're going to get all these old stars and ride them to glory, and they're going to be superstars right away, and we're going to get all the bandwagon fans in Los Angeles to choose us over the Chargers. Didn't work. Just like 37-year-old and 35-year-old Paul Pierce didn't work for the Brooklyn Nets. Didn't work. They take a step back, but Kyler Murray and company in Arizona take a major step forward toward the playoffs this year. So for me, the NFC West is far and away the best division in football. You have two top five teams in San Francisco and Seattle. Not one, but two. The Seattle Seahawks have been improving their roster slowly but surely. You know, they've been digesting the massive contract of Russell Wilson, highest paid player in the NFL, and they're poised for an 11-5 or 12-4 season as well. I could easily see the Arizona Cardinals going 8-8 or 9-7, and then the Los Angeles Rams are probably a 6-10 or 7-9 team. But overall, you've got three, in my opinion, good teams, two great teams in the same division. The NFC West is number one. The NFC South for me isn't even number two. I'll give it to the AFC North. Baltimore, look at what they've done this offseason. They get Hunter Henry, the great tight end. They add Calais Campbell to the defensive line. That's a 14-2 team from a year ago. So the AFC North for me is the clear number two division in all of the NFL. Baltimore easily. Pittsburgh improved with Big Ben returning, right? Back in the playoff picture is Pittsburgh. Cleveland with Jack Conklin and a much improved, much retooled offensive line is bound to take a step forward. And then Cincinnati, the laughingstock of the NFL, they add Joe Burrow to the fold. Suddenly Cincinnati is a lot better as well. Suddenly Cincinnati's much improved. Let's get right back to it, and Tony in Spartanburg joins us on the line. Tony, thanks so much for the call. You're offsides. Tony, go ahead.
Hey, excuse me. Hey, Mark. I'm with you 1,000% on the NFC West. Obviously, no comparison top to bottom to the NFC South. But back to the national championship game and Trevor Lawrence on one side, Burrow on the other side. I can't help but take into consideration Joe Burrow's about a seventh-year player, sure, in his senior year at 23 years old, and Trevor is a true sophomore at 19 years old. Don't you think in 4 years from now that Trevor Lawrence is going to be every bit as good? He'll be a starting NFL quarterback at 23 years old, where Joe Burrow was leading LSU to a national championship and winning a Heisman at 23 years old.
So, I mean, Joe Burrow's
older than Lamar Jackson.
No, I understand that. Didn't it feel almost... But didn't it feel almost unfair watching Joe Burrow at the college level? Didn't it feel unfair? Like, college defensive backs were not properly equipped to deal with that guy? And so, yeah, there's a huge difference, especially at that age, Joe Burrow being 23 and Trevor Lawrence being 20. But part of that difference, 19, Tony, part of that difference was feel for the game. And sometimes guys find the feel for the game, and sometimes they don't. Now, to your point, a year ago, we had no idea what Joe Burrow was capable of. A year ago, in Phil Steele's College Preview magazine, dude, he had Joe Burrow, the 15th rated quarterback, going to the NFL draft. 15th.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, he had guys from Mississippi and Hawaii and all sorts of cats you've never heard of ahead of Joe Burrow in the rankings. And then you get a new system, you get Joe Brady. All of a sudden, Joe Burrow is the man putting up massive numbers, right?
But do you think that's going to translate to the Cincinnati Bengals? And I think the answer is absolutely not. I just don't see it.
Well,
that's what, you know, this is where the bang or bust comes into effect 3-4 years down the line. Everybody's going to beat his hands up for what, being 9 inches from fingertip to the end of the palm or
no
whatever.
No small hand jokes, please. No small hand jokes here. Right? Remember when the
Joe Burrow has a, not Hall of Fame, but do you think Joe Burrow is a 10-year starter in the NFL?
I do. And I'll tell you, he's an Ohio kid, right? Zach Taylor's his head coach. Zach Taylor, known as a quarterback whisperer. Situation you're drafted into matters. He's in familiar surroundings. He's got a guy that is known for working quarterbacks, kind of a young visionary guy. He's going to a great situation there, and people don't realize that yet. So, yes, I do think Joe Burrow is a 10-year starter. I do think Trevor Lawrence has better raw size, speed, height, better measurables than Joe Burrow does, but he hasn't put them all together yet, Tony, and that's where we're at, brother.
All right, great point. Great point. Appreciate you.
Thank you very much for the call, bud. Do appreciate it very much. All right, coming up next, what are Patrick and I looking forward to the most in terms of the return of what we know and love? That is coming your way next. We're on location from Mikasa. What's up, Facebook Live? How you doing? My name is Mark Ryan. He's Patrick Brown, and you're listening to the number one sports radio show in the state of South Carolina, as awarded by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association. This is Offsides on ESPN Upstate. Patrick right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to be here with you in the pandemic-inspired new studio from Mikasa, broadcasting live on ESPN Upstate Facebook Live today. Rolling on. Hi to everyone in the room. Hi to everyone saying hello. If you want to see what a live radio broadcast looks like, we're up on ESPN Upstate's Facebook page right now. Rolling on until 7 p.m. This otherwise beautiful evening. You know, like I'm looking outside my window right now. It's the weather's perfect, looks beautiful, but then you have reminders. There's been this guy walking around the block with a mask on, and he's passed around like 4 or 5 different times now. And so, you know, it's hard to get away from the current reality, but if you're like me, you've been able to distance yourself from it maybe 2 or 3 hours a day. I have 2 or 3 hours a day where I don't think about it at all, where I temporarily forget about it. And that's a really, really nice time. Patrick, what are you most looking forward to when we return to normal, man?
Might be a little bit selfish of me, but I'm looking forward to maybe potentially the NHL season getting back underway and having the greatest ceremony and the greatest playoffs of all time, the Stanley Cup Finals.
I'm looking forward to the NFL draft, which is still on track for next month. I think that is going to be chicken soup for everybody's soul. That is going to be exactly what we need a month from now. I think April looks like it's going to be a pretty difficult, challenging month for everybody. And then I'm looking forward to the college football season, man. We got no Olympics, right? We have no March Madness, but you give me the NFL draft, then you give us a summer to look forward to the college football season. Man, I'll be all right. I'll be all right as long as we begin trending in the right direction here as a country moving forward. What are you guys looking the most forward to upon the return to normal life? 1-844-477-3776. 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. Coming up next, it is time to do a little ditty we call Either Or. Three options on life and sports. This is the most interactive sports radio show in the state of South Carolina. It's Offsides with me, Mark Ryan, right here on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.